Good evening. In the news tonight, a mass killing in Port-au-Prince. A judge blocks Trump's birth control restrictions, and state senators Jessica Ramos and Julia Salazar join us on the program. Good evening. I'm Peter Rue for the WBAI Evening News, presented by The Independent, a free progressive monthly newspaper and online news site. Here's some of the news for Monday, January 14th, 2019, beginning with international news. The Russian Republic of Chechnya has launched a new crackdown on gays in which at least two people have died and about 40 people have been detained, LGBT activists in Russia charged Monday. The new allegations come after reports in 2018 of more than 100 gay men arrested and subjected to torture, and some of them killed in the predominantly Muslim region in southern Russia. At least 13 people were injured and 12 arrested in Zimbabwe's capital of Harare as police clashed with protesters over the doubling of fuel costs. The violence comes 1 month after an official report said police and soldiers used unjustified and disproportionate force to kill 6 people during an election protest in 2018. 14-year-old Abdel Salah, a Palestinian child shot in the head by Israeli forces during protests along the Gazan border on Friday, died of his injuries over the weekend. A 43-year-old female activist was also killed and 24 Palestinians wounded. Nearly 200 Palestinians have been killed since the border protests began last March, including 35 children. Masked gunmen, together with uniformed police, are accused of killing more than 20 men in Port-au-Prince, Haiti's impoverished La Saline neighborhood. Some residents and local rights groups say the killers were gang members working with corrupt police. Others accuse Haitian government officials of orchestrating the massacre to head off anti-corruption protests. The killings, which allegedly took place over a 24-hour period on November 13, were first reported by the Associated Press on Monday. China's diplomatic crisis with Canada has escalated after a Chinese court sentenced a Canadian man to death and said another Canadian was not eligible for diplomatic immunity. The action came as tensions heightened between the two countries over the arrest of a top Chinese technology executive. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he's extremely concerned that China has chosen to arbitrarily apply the death penalty. The comments are Trudeau's strongest yet against China. In national news, a leading House Democrat announced a sweeping investigation into drug prices on Monday. Oversight and Reform Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings has sent letters to 12 major drug manufacturers seeking detailed information about pricing practices for brand-name drugs that treat diseases including cancer, diabetes, kidney failure, and nerve pain. William Barr, Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General, told senators Monday that he will allow Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Russian election meddling to continue unimpeded. Citing current and former White House officials, the New York Times reports Trump has repeatedly withheld details of his conversations with Russian President Vladimir Putin from his own administration. The paper also reports that the FBI began looking into whether Trump is a Russian agent in 2017. And a U.S. judge in California blocked Trump administration rules that would allow more employers to opt out of providing women with no-cost birth control from taking effect in 13 states and Washington, D.C. on Monday. New York, California, and other states argue that women would be forced to turn to state-funded programs for birth control and experience unintended pregnancies. The plaintiffs had sought to prevent the rules from taking effect nationally while their lawsuit moved forward, but Judge Haywood Gillum limited the scope of his ruling to the states that have filed suit. The changes would allow more employers to opt out of providing no-cost contraceptive coverage to women by claiming religious or moral objections. In local news, a new study from the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network concludes that schools in New York State are unsafe for LGBTQ children. 90% of students polled said they faced discrimination, including derogatory slurs, while only half of students said they reported it to school administrators. Lawmakers in Albany took up a voting reform package Monday that will clear the way for early voting, same-day voter registration, and which will make it easier to vote by mail. Prison reform advocates are critical of the legislation for failing to enfranchise New York's incarcerated felons and those who are on parole. Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release his executive budget on Tuesday as he delivers his State of the State address. Among the policy proposals, the governor says it will include new restrictions on the sale of tobacco and e-cigarettes, as well as a ban on plastic bags and extended school zone speed cameras. Environmentalists plan to gather in Albany on Tuesday, urging the governor to halt fossil fuel infrastructure projects and to push for a swift transition to 100% renewable energy. Meanwhile, activists here in New York City are preparing for the local January 19 Women's March. The Independent's Aaron Sheridan spoke with Brittany Williams, the march's logistics and policy chair, in Bushwick on Sunday. Williams says this year's gathering will be a chance to celebrate gains made by women in November's midterm elections and to advance a policy agenda for the Democrat-controlled state Senate to take up.
Well, we're literally creating art for the march that's taking place on January 19th. I'm really, really, really excited about it. It is going to be a celebration. It's also going to be a space for so many women from different backgrounds, ethnicities, coming together to celebrate not only like midterms, this huge women's wave, but then also like the launch of our policy platform that we have worked with so many organizations, close to 50 organizations in New York City, to carve out space to demand a new way of existing through a political policy lens in Albany, because we want the House, we want the Senate, so we are in a triple state, blue state right now.
There will be a women's unity rally at Foley Square on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. near the African burial ground. The march gets underway at 11 a.m. at Columbus Circle. Mayor Bill de Blasio laid out a number of ambitious policy goals in his annual State of the City address last week. These include mandated 2-week paid vacations for all workers and plans to expand health coverage among the city's uninsured and undocumented populations. The mayor says the health care program, dubbed NYC Care, will be paid for with tax revenue generated by the 25,000 white-collar workers he expects Amazon to hire at its new Queens headquarters. Amazon is receiving over $3 billion worth of subsidies from the city and state to establish a home base in Long Island City. NYC Care is expected to cost approximately $100 million annually. Which brings us to our next segment. We turn now to State Senator Jessica Ramos, who represents the neighborhoods of Corona, East Elmhurst, Elmhurst, Jackson Heights, and Woodside. A former member of the de Blasio administration, Ramos spoke with Indy Radio earlier Monday. She began by lauding the mayor's NYC Care initiative, but was critical of her former boss's suggestion that Amazon will cover the cost.
Well, let me start by commending this huge transformational change to healthcare at the municipal level in New York City. I think it's really important as a matter of public health that we are giving access to every New Yorker, no matter who they are or where they come from, to quality healthcare. I mean, guaranteed healthcare is something that I campaigned on, that I firmly believe in. It's why I support single payer. The mayor also said, though, that we were already paying for this because there is so much traffic in emergency rooms across the city. And so we're either already paying for it or Amazon's going to pay for it. But I don't see how it can be both. Nevertheless, those who need health care the most are, of course, our most vulnerable. Those who live below the poverty line, our elders, our children are heavily uninsured. And so for me, these are exactly the same folks who would be displaced when Amazon comes to Long Island City. And those families would be pushed east, due east, into my district. So yes, I'm very worried. I'm very concerned about the way the Amazon deal happened, what it was that we seemingly have agreed to, and the fact that the public review process was completely circumvented. But nevertheless, again, I think what Health and Hospitals is doing is very, very commendable, and I'm happy. But I think the entire narrative of including Amazon as giving them credit for helping us do this is disingenuous.
Mm. Yeah, so basically you're saying there might not be very many people left in Queens that could take advantage of this program if they're displaced by Amazon-fueled gentrification.
Correct. I mean, the area median income would increase, and those folks would be able to afford their own health care. And of course, we're actively trying to figure out how to make sure that everybody's covered, so those factors don't matter. But nevertheless, you know, assuming that assuming the worst, assuming that we don't pass single payer health care on the state level, then the folks who would need it the most wouldn't even be able to live in the city of New York anymore.
Mm. You mentioned that the mayor says we're already paying for this. I'm looking at this Vox article recently. It notes that public hospitals provide 52% of uncompensated care in the state, yet receive just 15% of the state's charity care dollars, whereas private hospitals are receiving 85% of the state's reimbursements and providing just 42% of the care. Is that something that you're going to look at in the Senate?
Well, we're looking at that. We're making sure that we're speaking to all stakeholders so that we can pass the best bill as possible.
You mentioned universal health care, the New York Health Act. Is that something that you're getting behind in the Senate?
I plan to be behind the New York Health Act. We are hoping to introduce a new bill, spearheaded by, of course, State Senator Gustavo Rivera, who is now chair of the Health Committee. Again, we want to make sure that every stakeholder is heard. We understand that unions have their concerns, other folks have their concerns. Our biggest goal, of course, is to make sure that every New Yorker is covered and has guaranteed access to health care. And so we want to make sure we don't really stray from the single payer model. So we're figuring that out right now.
And we had Michael Giannaris on last week, and he mentioned his opposition to this Amazon giveaway. Are the ways that you see in the Senate that this deal between de Blasio and Cuomo and Amazon could be thwarted?
So this particular deal, I think we will have some room to discuss the tax breaks as we approach the budget. But nevertheless, I think, you know, Senator Giannaris has certainly introduced a bill that I think will be helpful moving forward for any future deals, which I'm sure he spoke about, to make sure that we're doing away with non-disclosure agreements between state government and corporations. I mean, it should be a crime that the government, you know, can't let the people it represents know what it is that they're negotiating. So I think that's really, really important. I will be introducing legislation with Assemblyman Ron Kim to phase out of corporate welfare over 5 years and then monetize student loans, because we truly believe that alleviating our generation of student loan debt would actually be would increase economic opportunity and viability and purchasing power a lot more than any major multinational corporation could. I'm very concerned because, well, aside from the Long Island City headquarters for Amazon, in my district, we would be getting a fulfillment center, which, of course, is a warehouse with some of the worst jobs that Amazon has to offer globally. There are workers on strike in Spain right now because the conditions are so dire. And that's certainly not something that my neighbors deserve. Unfortunately, it's something that can be done as of right. And so it's not a matter of whether it happens, but when it happens. And we need to make sure that we're fighting for card check neutrality, making sure that Amazon allows the workers to form a union if that's what they want to do. And I'm sure that's what they'll want to do. Mm-hmm. And that for me means, you know, better jobs for my neighbors. Look, we know that union members are the economic anchors of their communities. Mm-hmm. So we want to increase union density in New York and start rebuilding the middle class in that way.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're going to get all this public money, they could at least, you know, pay the workers a decent wage, allow them to unionize. That seems like a solid argument to put forward.
You would think, or they can contribute to our infrastructure, right? Even if you just keep the conversation only in Long Island City, it's right by the 7 train. The 7 train is in dire straits, right? We need new cars. We need we've gotten a new signal system that doesn't seem to work very well. I mean, there is a lot of work to do, and if they're going to be placing a burden on our subway system, on our schools, and all of the other services that that people need in their neighborhood, well, then they should be paying their fair share. Look, Google and Facebook came to New York without asking for for all of these things. And that's notable. They came here because we have a talented workforce pool. They came here because it's New York City, and that matters. And I think Amazon would have come here anyway without us giving away, everything.
Something you said earlier struck me. You have this idea of ending these kind of giveaways that companies like Amazon receive from the state and putting that money towards student loan forgiveness?
I've never thought that corporate welfare should be in perpetuity. I mean, corporate welfare should be virtually non-existent. So for me, as I look at my district and the city of New York and the state, And I say this as someone who has student loans myself, I have not been able to purchase a home because what I should be saving ends up going to Navient. Mm. So for me, it's about making sure that my generation, which will hopefully, I'm wrong, but more than likely end up without pensions, without a serious retirement system. If Republicans get away with it, we might not even have Social Security. Right now, we're coming to an age where we're starting to have children, starting our families. We need to be able to purchase homes. We need to be able to invest in our economy. And so for me, it's really, really important that we that's where we're placing our priority is on the regular old, New Yorkers who actually should be entrepreneurial and being able to contribute to our economy as much as possible. But that's not going to happen if we keep giving tax breaks to multinational corporations that diminish entrepreneurship anyway.
Mm. Well, thank you, Senator. Is there anything you'd like to add? I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's the first full day of session today, so it's an exciting day for the state.
Great. Thank you.